Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. Man, that just actually rolls off the tongue now. I can actually do it. So I am one of your hosts today, Wrestling Chris G of Sports Entertainment Breakdown. On the other line with me today is the good old school nerd, Dougie Fresh. Dougie, man, how you doing?
You know, when we were kids, nerd had a very negative connotation, right?
Yeah.
You know, yes, big, big, thick glasses, always reading, you know, got good grades, which for some reason was a bad thing. Nerd, I would almost say nerd is norm now.
Yeah, it is.
Like, if you're not,
everybody likes a good nerd.
I mean, we're nerds. We're wrestling nerds. We're Pokemon nerds. You know, you're a bit of an anime nerd. I like sports, which is full of fucking numbers. You know, I mean, everybody's a nerd.
Yes, they are.
Which, you know, and nerds are cool, man, because nerds are going to rule the world. I mean, you know.
Power to the nerds.
All the technology and shit, but yeah. So, nerd. It hit me funny when you said it, and then I kind of like broke it down in my own head. I was like, "Look, he's not wrong."
So yeah, power to the nerds, everybody. This is the show for you. And I feel like I don't do this that much, but if you're brand new and this is your first episode, we are going over every Pokemon episode ever known to man, and soon we will be doing movies once we get up to that point.
Yes.
So we are going to be annotating every single Pokemon episode on a weekly basis. So we will be here for a while. So we hope you stay with us. And hopefully we're one of the more longer running Pokemon podcasts. Because I feel like people that do Pokemon review podcasts kind of give up at a certain point.
Well, and not just, you know, television review episodes, but I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, which it's out of date now, and it's going to be way out of date by the time this actually goes out. The most recent Talk to the Audience from the fellows over at Talking Simpsons.
Yes.
They're talking because their full-time job is podcasting. You know, they've gotten enough steam on their Patreon that they were able to quit their jobs and become, you know, full-time money-earning podcasters. And one of the hosts was opining about these celebrities that have started podcasts. Most specifically, like, podcasts that started up in the quarantine.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm listening to some of these podcasts, and they're on here talking about season finales and taking a break and coming back for season two or whatever. It's like, no, that's not the contract we signed. The contract we signed as podcasters is we release an episode a week, at least, in infinity.
Yes.
Like, there is no break. Now, this is kind of rich coming from us, considering our main podcast,
Sports Entertainment Breakdown,
just came back from a month-long break. However, I think we get a pass because wrestling's never going to go away.
No.
Wrestling will never stop. And if we're on there every week talking about every show that goes out, our quality is going to dip.
Yeah. So, I mean, we need the break, but what's good about this podcast is if you like listening to our voice on a weekly basis, even when we go on our breaks, these podcasts are still going to be dropping.
Yeah. These podcasts are going to outlive everybody.
And yeah.
The fucking the nuclear bomb's going to hit one of these days, and it's just going to be a bunch of cockroaches running around listening to podcasts.
Hey, did you hear this week's episode of E-Peep?
E-Peep. Hashtag E-Peep. Get that trending in a month when this goes out.
Well, I've already started it on Twitter. Which, by the way, everybody, go ahead and follow us on Pokey Breakdown on Twitter. We don't have many followers right now, but go ahead and get the word out, because we know you're listening, because I see some of the numbers. So get the word out. Tell your friends to tell their friends that we're going to be doing this, and we are in it for the long run. So
hell, tell your enemies. We don't give a shit. Just tell people.
Yeah, for real.
Get into a fender bender with somebody, and as you're screaming, go, you should follow SCB or E-Peep on Twitter. And they'd be like, what E-Peep? The fuck's E-Peep? And they was just look
every,
it up.
Every Pokemon episode ever.
Dickhead.
So.
Don't be Ash.
I know. Well, I think we were all Ash at one point as a child.
Well, probably. I choose not to think about that. Pardon me. I choose not to think about it that way, but you're probably right.
Well, I know I was an Ash.
Well.
I was a huge. Shut up. let's go ahead and get on into this episode. Today is episode 9. It is titled The School of Hard Knocks. It was released in Japan on May 27th, 1997, and here in the U.S. on September 18th, 1998. And at this point, we like to give historical moments to the U.S. release date. Unless something really tragically happened, then we go with the Japan date.
Like a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
So, starting off this week, I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. I'm gonna have Doug start the historical event this week, and then we'll go into my historical event, and then we'll dive on into this week's episode.
Which is smart, because yours is more positive than mine. But mine. Shoots off an interesting discussion that, you know, there are numerous things that you could read about if you're curious. So on September 18th, 1970, Jimi Hendrix died in London at the age of 27. Oof. Now, if you're familiar with Jimi Hendrix at all, I'm sure, you know, you think of, you know, his masterful guitar playing, the Star Spangled Banner at Woodstock. He was making hand over fist. He was making dumb money. You know, he was making dumb money in, you know, 1960, which adjusted to inflation is probably stupider. You know, Band of Gypsies, Jimi Hendrix Experience, you know, I mean, you've probably heard numerous songs and not even realized, but, you know, I mean,
that it was him,
you know, Jimmy, you know, the bandanas and the hair, the wild hair, and just being cool as a motherfucker. And if your ears perked up when I mentioned that he was 27, then you're already on the right trip, because Jimi Hendrix, of course, is one of the first members of the 27 Club, which is this interesting group of musicians and actors that all died at the age of 27. So you're talking,
it's a pretty big list.
I'm trying to move this to not kill the record, not kill the, you're talking, like we said, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison from the Doors, Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse might be the most recent member, but I can't 100% confirm that. Kurt Cobain was 27, and that one shook music.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know if we'll be able to dive fully into that. I mean, we'll see. You never know when some of these episodes air. And for them all to die at the age of 27 has taken on a life of its own. I mean, point of fact, I'm on the Wikipedia page for the 27 Club. Like, it's got its own page. There's multiple podcasts about it. There's been articles written. There's been books. And people say, well, what was it? Was it, is there a switch that flips? Is it, you know,
it's the drugs, man.
It's drugs is unfortunately a big part of it. You know, the pressure, and it's just one of the things that you're left with when you're looking at all these names on this list is potential. Because you're 27, you're either at your peak or you're right there, and it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Cobain is what, like, obviously, Jimmy was a springboard to talk about this, but like one of the biggest what ifs is Kurt Cobain, because like grunge was the thing, you know. Nirvana was just Nirvana
money
was
seller.
I mean, it was the tits when, you know, when they were hot, and that was, and then Kurt was just gone. Now, you know, Kurt, obviously, you're talking many drugs, all the drugs, some would say. And I think he just kind of reached a point. He kind of reached fuck it level where he didn't care about nothing. But I mean, it's just potential. I mean, if there's one word associated with the 27 Club, it's potential. So we started with me because I was going to bring everybody down right away. But thankfully, Wrestling Chris G is going to swoop on into the rescue.
Yes, I am.
Nice and positive.
Like I always do, Doug. But in 1998, on this day, September 18th, the good old comedy movie that almost everybody loves, Rush Hour, starring Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan, was released.
Yes.
Great movie. I love this movie. And it was such a good movie that they had three Rush Hour movies, and they were all funny in their own little way.
Right.
Fun fact about Rush Hour was actually not supposed to be as a comedy movie as it is, because the first movie is not so comedy wise as 2 and 3 are, but just the intertwine of both of these actors in this movie just made this movie so much better.
Well, yeah, and the pairing of Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, obviously. You can't get too opposite without going, you know, in the complete opposite direction. I mean, these guys are, you know, the expression is, these guys are on different pages. These guys might have been in a different library.
Yeah. So they
played pretty well off each other. I mean, they got three movies out of it.
Yeah, they did. So, all right. But yeah, that movie came out. Big blockbuster movies. Everybody seems to have loved it. If you live back in the 90s or the late 90s, it was good. It was a good time when that movie came out. And I remember watching it. I remember watching 2 and 3 like multiple times. Like, easily I can think of like about like 5 or 6 times just watching it within a year. Like, that's how funny I thought those movies were. But yeah, I saw that pop up on here and I was like, oh, that is my mind right there. So good stuff.
And that's kind of the fun part about doing these. It's like, you know, you look up a couple different pages and it's like, well, I mean, look, if there's something obvious, you know, one of us is probably going to take it. But some of these times, we're going to be on a page and something's going to hit us specifically. And it's like, well, I can work with that. So,
yeah. So, all right. But other than that, we also have another segment right before we get into the episode of Who's That Pokemon? And we like to tell you the Who's That Pokemon of this episode, so we don't kind of break up the flow of what we have going on. And this week's Who's That Pokemon was good old Cubone, who makes an appearance in this episode. So we're continuing the trend of Who's That Pokemon is actually in this episode. I can't wait until we get into the episodes where the Pokemon of Who's That Pokemon is not in the episode. I actually just finished an episode, last week, where Mewtwo was the Pokemon. And we all know Mewtwo wasn't in a regular episode of Pokemon.
He damn sure wasn't.
You had to buy the movie to watch it.
You had to pay to see Mewtwo.
So, all right. But that's the historical event. And, I mean, normally it's a little longer, but I kind of feel like we can just kind of jump into this week's episode, because this week's episode, it's a doozy. Right, Doug?
I mean, this episode, we like to peel back the curtain on this show. We were kind of trying to hammer out actually getting ready to record. You called me at one point and you're like, I'm about to start episode 9. And I was like, I'm about halfway through. And boy, this episode, and I'm like, again, halfway through, so probably at the first commercial break or whatever. Boy, did I not know what was coming for me by the time I finished this episode. And we'll expand on it, but this episode gave me a headache.
Yeah,
because you say, "Oh, was it lighting effects? Was it sound effects?" No.
We'll get into that on the Porygon episode. But this episode gives you a headache, because this episode kind of breaks Pokemon logic in fold.
I'll tell you, it breaks it because it brings it up.
Yes,
it brings it up specifically to tear it apart.
Like to say, Pokemon can be weak against this, but that doesn't always mean that your Pokemon is going to win.
So what the fuck are we doing sitting here? Well, I mean, why even have weaknesses?
Because if your Pokemon's on a high enough level, you can still wreck some people.
Facts.
And I know you haven't played a regular Pokemon game in some time. I think your time is coming, though, because I'm not gonna lie. I think at some point within the year, I'm calling it on this podcast, I'm calling it within the next year or so, when you're down on your video gaming, because I think you have a year off of wrestling.
I have a year off of wrestling, but I just started Madden 21. That came out this week. UFC released another video game after 2 years, so I'm into that.
Have you played it yet?
I have played it. I'm already the heavyweight champion, because I'm fucking just out here knocking motherfuckers out.
I was thinking about getting that game, and I know this is not the podcast, but I really was thinking about getting that game. My son wants me to get that game. Is it have they the last UFC game that I played was UFC 2. So this is obviously the fourth one. Have they taken major step forwards from just being the same moves over and over again from the second game?
I mean, no. But the training's a little more in depth, which is nice. I mean, and I'm not a kind of guy that wants to get into a three-round technical, I'm going to submit you. I think my quickest fight was 6 seconds. Because I know what to hit, and I know how to knock you out, and that's what I give a shit about. I don't care about tapping people up. I know how to defend against, if I get taken down, I know how to get up or defend against it. But I'm not out here trying to break your arm. I'm out here trying to break your nose.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I've got that. Obviously, I've still got baseball. And the new Marvel game is fitting to come out.
Oh, yes, it is. So, okay. Well,
I won't be hurting.
You won't be hurting, but I'm calling it within the next year that you'll at least turn on a Pokemon game.
But then next year the Suicide Squad's getting a game.
Ooh.
Oh, have you not seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, bro, you got to look up that trailer.
I will. After we're done with this. So, all right, we're going to go ahead.
And there's a new Batman game coming in 2 years.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
So you saw that, but you didn't see the Suicide Squad. How did you? They were the same thing.
Yes, I know. But my son picks and chooses what he likes to show me for video games. So
that Suicide Squad game looks clutch.
So, all right. So you ready?
Yeah, I suppose we should talk about Pokemon now.
So here we go. So this week's this week's episode starts off like any other episode with the narrator. It's nice and foggy out, and Ash and Misty and Brock are walking, and we get the classic Misty brings up the fact that she's not going to let Ash out of her sight until he gives her bike back.
Yeah, you can't, pardon me, you can't be letting that go. And
this is a funny beginning to the episode.
This was a good beginning because obviously the camera is kind of on a far out shot. And we kind of have little like pop-ins, you know, like Misty brings up the bike and then Ash's head pops in and goes, "You always bike, bike, bike. You're always talking about the bike."
That's all I hear from you.
And then Brock eventually pops in upside down and goes, and kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit. He's like, "We should probably start the show."
Yeah.
And then that's we get the title card. I feel like we got the title card pretty quick this week.
Yeah, we did. We got it with just in a few seconds into the episode.
And the English title for this episode was The School of Hard Knocks. And what was that interesting Japanese translation?
Pokemon Certain Victory Manual.
And boy, will we get into that.
So
you brought that up last week, and I said, boy, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. So we start the episode. Brock has a table with cloth and chairs and everything inside of this backpack. And he goes into this whole spiel that he's going to start making lunch. And he's gonna make tea, and
his official Pokemon tea set.
And that Misty and Ash are too young to have coffee, but he loves him some coffee. And I thought that line was funny.
Yeah, and you know we've talked for numerous minutes about you know the ages, and, you know, because obviously Ash is 10 and. Did we land that Misty was also 10?
Yes, Misty is 10 as well. And Misty Brock's, and Ash are the same age. Is about between 13 to 15.
And then Brock's like 15. So yeah, you're too young to have coffee, but I love me some good coffee.
We're going to continue the episode, but I'm going to look up for certain what is Brock's age. Pokemon Brock's. Age.
So as you're doing that, it's decided that somebody has to go off and get firewood so we can get
15.
15, there you go. And it's decided that somebody has to go out and get firewood so we can get a fire started. And Misty says, "Well, I'm so selfless that I'll give up the adventure of getting firewood to keep you company, Brock." And everybody's like, "You know what that means?" And Ash is like, "That means I have to go." Meh. he basically mehs.
He does.
And then, so him and Pikachu go off. And the motherfucker, I had to stop the episode.
Okay.
The motherfucker is walking through the forest. And he goes, "Here, firewood."
like Firewood's just going to jump out like a Pokemon.
And I'm sitting here going, what the fuck are we doing? And Ash is like, well, Pikachu, there's no Firewood is coming out saying chop me. So I don't know what we're going to do. And Pikachu had a fucked up voice.
Yeah, he did.
Right? I mean, I'm not the only one. Like, yeah. I don't know what was going on this week.
But Pikachu also looks off into the distance in the fog and sees a bright light. And Ash and Pikachu go, what's going on down there?
Ash goes, light must equal fire.
So we jump to another scene where it looks like this boy is like maybe 9 or 10 years old. I'm going to comfortably say that this boy is 10 years old. Because that's how old you have to be to become a Pokemon trainer.
Right. However, they're not really trainers. They're students.
Yes, they're students. But they are trainers in a way, in the way of their school. So we're going to get into that.
That's a fair assessment.
So there's this little 10-year-old boy. He's on a treadmill. And while he's on a treadmill, his little colleagues or classmates are sitting there and testing him when it comes to his knowledge of Pokemon. And one of them holds up a Pokemon card that is Pidgey. And I want to depict this part of the episode because
I hope you would.
Because it's this part of the episode where they're kind of meshing in like they know you're watching the show now. They know you're playing the video game and you got the cards. So they actually put all of that into this episode. And it's actually pretty fascinating because they actually give Pokemon levels.
Oh bro, I didn't even catch that. That was a great catch.
Yeah, so in this part, so I'm gonna play it in the background as I'm kind of going over this, but the little boy holds up a Pidgey Pokemon card, and the little boy on the treadmill is running, and he has to depict what Pokemon this is. And remember, everybody, it's foggy.
I don't care how foggy it is. I don't care if this kid was running and sweating and he was under pressure. There's no fucking way. He could look at that card, look at a Pidgey with fucking feathers, and go, well, that's a Zubat. Fuck right off.
That Pokemon looks nothing like a Zubat. But in his defense, we find out why he's doing what he's doing a little bit later on in the episode.
Well, that's true, but he could have said a Spearow.
A Butterfree.
Butterfree. It's a Metapod. Fuck right off. But yeah,
so at this point, he does say it's Pidgey, and he goes, at level 5, he learns Sand Attack. And at level 12, he learns Quick Attack. And then he goes, what level does Pidgey evolve at?
And I think he doesn't answer, because I think he trips, right?
Yeah, he... He gets tripped up on this. Well, he acts like he's getting tripped up on this question. And another student chimes in and goes, you know, if you don't answer it, you're gonna have to run quicker. And to Ash, it looks like they're bullying this classmate, but they're not. They are, but they're not.
Well, so that means that Ash has to come in like a goddamn white knight again for the second goddamn week in a row.
Yep.
And go, hey, quit picking on that kid. And, you know, he's ready to square up to the other, what, 4 that are standing there?
Three.
And Misty, fucking out of nowhere, is like, yeah, Ash, you tell him. And she's willing to stand by his side. And then Ash goes from trying to be White Knight to being like big dick energy going, well, Misty, this is between me and these guys. You stay out of it. Fuck right off. And Misty's 100% justified in her reaction of, all right, I'll be there to carry you out when you're getting your ass kicked 3-on-1.
Oh, and by the way, I misspoke there because we get a far shot during this scene and there's five
of them.
there's five other students, and then the sixth one is the one that was running on the on the treadmill.
So yeah, he definitely would have gotten his ass kicked.
Yes,
5-on-1.
Misty has like she has bigger balls than Ash.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, Ash is an idiot because Misty was willing to stand by his side, and Ash is like, "Well, Ash, girls, you lick," you know. And
Misty goes, "You know, okay, I'll back off, but go ahead, Ash. Show him you're a man." And that just makes Ash turn into dickwad Ash and goes, "Okay, yeah, I'll battle you."
And I don't have it playing with sound, but they just get fed up and just go back to campus.
Yeah, well, Ash challenges them to a Pokemon battle. And as soon as he challenges them to a Pokemon battle, the students are like, you know, we're not in the Stone Ages anymore. We're battling is for chumps.
I should have caught on that something wasn't going to hit me right this episode. But it didn't hit me until they were actually in the school.
Yeah. So they basically call Ash out and basically say, you know what? We don't have time for this. We don't know who you are. We have a lot of money. We're sophisticated. We're going to go back into this school and you can deal with this loser of a trainer who can't even get the evolution of Pidgey out.
Correct.
So and they didn't say that, but that's basically what they were saying. They're like, okay, you know what? Forget you. We're better than you.
So they walk off, and they must have gone back to the campsite because all of a sudden Brock's sitting there whisking a bowl, and he's like, "Ah, those must be the tech kids,"
Oh no, Brock meets up with them because they're right back. The treadmill is in the video because Pikachu gets on the treadmill and presses some buttons and thinks it's Macho Pikachu just running.
Oh yeah, well to be fair, so first of all, they're like Ash was confused by Pokemon Tech, and Misty's like, "I think it's short for technology or technical," and she's like, "I think I have a." She conveniently has a fucking flyer in her pocket.
Yes.
Which probably where the fuck was this flyer 5 minutes ago?
But she whatever. Found it on the ground when Ash was turning into dick ass.
Right. So they're reading the flyer and Brock's kind of talking about it, and I think the kids kind of explain a little, and in the background, essentially, you can see that Pikachu's trying to operate this treadmill. And he gets it to go, and he's perfectly fine. He's doing Pikachu things. And then Brock, absentmindedly, I don't blame Brock, because who the fuck knows that Pikachu's going to turn the thing on?
He leans up against the treadmill, presses the button to go faster, and Pikachu just starts running, and then can't keep up, and it just falls.
He just falls, and he's just out.
Poor Pikachu.
And nobody notices. Nobody says any. Nobody says, "Oh, poor Pikachu." Brock doesn't give him a my bad.
But this is how much. I like how the writers and the people that was drawing this scene put so much detail into Pikachu, because after that happens and Brock is still explaining what this school is, Pikachu's just standing right next to Brock, just panting.
I mean, he's obviously embarrassed for himself, but it's not like he's like, you know, kicking Brock in the shin or anything.
Mad and kicks the treadmill.
That's why he kicks the treadmill, and like it's a delayed react because he kicks it. Obviously, you hear him kick it, and all of a sudden he just goes, "Ah!"
And he's just hobbling. Like this scene is just spot on. It's just great. But what I wish they would have tied in was, okay, so Brock has dinner and stuff getting ready to be prepared back over at the campsite of where they were. Why the fuck did Misty and Brock come over to where Ash is, leaving all of their goods over wherever it was. And I'm just gonna throw it out there. We don't ever see that shit ever again. So someone got a fucking free meal.
Somebody got a free meal and apparently an official Pokemon T set.
Yes.
Because I'm
gonna throw out in the part that I'm looking at right now, Brock doesn't have a backpack. So no. Backpack and everything is over there.
So it's also revealed in this conversation that the fog was manufactured by the school as part of a special class.
Yes.
And they mentioned that tomorrow is snow battles. And the kid goes, well, fuck, they're going to turn me into a snowman tomorrow. And that's when the kid kind of lets on that he knows his shit.
He knows his shit. But what gets Ash and Brock was the fact that this kid considers those classmates his friends. And Brock just flat out goes, well, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
And that's classic, you know.
So
that's such a classic line. Gets used in a lot of movies and shit, but I kind of had a moment. I was like, that's our, because I was waiting for him to like spin it in a Pokemon. No, he just used the line. I was like, all right.
Yeah, but yeah, he goes into this big spiel, as you were saying, and just off the tip of his tongue, gives Pidgey's evolve forms all the way up to Pidgeot, telling what level he evolves on each, what special attacks he knows, and that kind of confuses Ash, Misty, and Brock, because they're like, well, why are you not just telling them so they ease up on you?
And I didn't care for this kid's answer, because he's like, well, if I answer their questions right, they're going to make the questions harder. It's like, isn't that the fucking point?
Yeah.
So he's choosing to do the bare minimum.
To get by.
And we're supposed to have sympathy on this kid. No, you're a slacker. You're not a victim. Well, I mean, he's a victim, but he's still a slacker.
Yeah. So, and then he points over to a kid that's sitting at a tree trying to learn his Pokemon encyclopedia. And this kid looks like he's like 20 years old. He's going nuts. And he looks like he has some, he has a little stubble. Like they gave him stubble and he has like a little mini beard growing in. And he's wearing glasses and they do the classic like line going in a circle, showing that they're like hypnotized.
Yeah, that's it.
But they say he's in the beginner's league, but he's been there for a long time.
Right. And he's like, well, students don't want to admit defeat and go home. So they're just trying to stick it out.
So. But here we go. They go, all right, well, what? So they want to, Ash, Misty, and Brock now wants to meet the person that's in charge of this whole rigmarole. And the little student takes out a card out of his front designer jacket pocket. What is that thing called?
Little suit coat.
Yeah, suit coat. And it's a picture of this girl named Giselle, which we'll find out later on. And Ash and Brock just look at this girl and just start oogling all over her.
And I'm not going to let us gloss over the fact that this kid just has a card. It's a picture. He has a picture of this girl who was not posing for this picture.
No, it was a creepy photo. He snapped a photo and you can see his shoulder in it, like he was walking past her and took out his camera and just took the photo.
So we're not going to gloss over the fact. So again, creep, and we're supposed to have sympathy on this kid. And we're only goddamn almost 9 minutes in. It's fucking ridiculous. So Ash and Brock basically pop boners at the same time and they're fully flushed and they're just like, she's part. I think one of them says Purdy. I don't know. Yeah. I can't remember.
Ash. Ash goes, ooh, she's pretty.
And I was like, motherfucker. And, you know, Misty gets jealous, basically. I mean, she doesn't come out and say it, but she gets she's like, I paused it right as she's blowing up on him.
And then we go to, and then she starts storming into the school.
She stomps off in the direction of the school. Like, I'm not, she's not running. She's not skipping. She's boom, boom, boom. Like, camera's shaking and shit.
And then we cut over to Jesse and James, looking off into the far distance at Ash, Misty, and Brock. And then we get a background that they also used to go to this school.
They did.
So, and because, of course, I mean, we find out later on, but Jesse and James, even though they try to get off with Team Rocket money, but Jesse and James grew up very, very, very rich.
Both. Yeah. I mean, we kind of had to connect the dots. I mean, it wasn't hard to connect, but Jesse and James apparently were also born with silver spoons in their mouth.
Yes.
And they said, well, we were getting ready for our final test and we went out to celebrate and it went in the opposite direction and we got the lowest scores in the history of the school. And they were down, and Meowth's like, well, think of it this way. You were at the top of the bottom.
So.
And apparently that was good enough to turn their mood around, even though, because we failed, but we failed the best.
It's at this point that we had the Who's That Pokemon, and as we said earlier in this episode, it is good old Cubone Bone Bone.
Which is a bit odd, because at this point in the episode, we haven't seen him yet.
No, but they're keeping up the prestige that every single Who's That Pokemon is in the episode, so.
Which is something.
So, at this point, we're just waiting to finally see him.
Right. I mean, we've seen him, but we need to see him in action.
Yes. So, okay. It's at this point, after they come back from commercial break, they are now inside of the school and they are walking through the school. And this is probably one of my favorite scenes out of this whole episode, because this little boy just pisses the fuck out of Misty.
This is where my headache started.
This boy comes into so I'm not going to go over, we don't need to go over word for word what they said, but basically they walk into this school and there's a bunch of computers, okay? A bunch of old school Pokemon computers. And on these computers are simulations that they test on.
It's the game.
Yes. Yeah, it's the Pokemon game inside of the anime.
Which is like meta as fuck.
So if your head's not scratching just hearing that. So this little boy is talking about how he can defeat any Pokemon in the world because he knows that if a Pokemon's weak against another Pokemon, that he can beat it. So Misty goes, well, I'm the gym leader of Cerulean City, and I have all water Pokemon. Oh, no, and he goes, oh, so you must have water Pokemon. So I would use grass Pokemon to counter your water Pokemon to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, and, you know, so we actually get kind of an impromptu battle, which I don't know if I would recommend just calling out a Starmie in the middle of a place with no water, but who am I?
I know, so, but what tripped me out, and this probably hurts your head too, what tripped me out is right before they do battle, he has a Weeping Bell against a Starmie on the simulator, and it has the health bar just like the old Game Boy games.
Yes.
And then and he has Weeping Bell attack the Starmie and completely kill it, and Misty just goes off.
I feel like realistically she should have put her foot through it,
because this Weeping Bell just wiped out her Starmie in one hit. It was a one hit knockout.
Now I will say we've established in the Cerulean City episode that Starmie is obviously the evolved form of Staryu.
Yes.
And Weeping Bell is the evolved form of Bellsprout, not the third evolution. That's that's down the line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a one for one, but it's not like a Bellsprout took out a star. If a Bellsprout took out a star, me, I would have quit the episode.
It would be up to, it would be some stuff that, that the Pokemon, because they like, in the newer episodes that I'm learning now, they like to tease and throw out their obscure things to happen in the episode just to piss off us people watching the damn anime. So if they were on some shit back then, that would that would have really taken the cake on this episode.
So you're saying Bellsprout could have beaten Starmie and the kid could have sat there and, well, he is a grass type, you know. Shit.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I would have quit the episode. I would have. I was saying, I got this far, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't.
But what killed me was when he killed the Starmie, they go to a shot of the kid just sitting in the chair and Misty is just going off like right next to him. And the kid's not even phased. He's just looking at the computer screen. He has this big old smirk on his face. Like, yeah, I know how to defeat you.
He's like, it's right there. It's the data. I mean, it's facts. It's logic. That's it. Yeah.
So it's at this point. We go out and Team Rocket is climbing a tree again.
Yeah, they fell out of the tree. No, they didn't.
No. In the episode prior, they knocked me out. They climbed the tree and knocked me out all the way to the bottom. So
much tree shit.
So, but they're looking in through the window, and because Misty has now challenged this little boy. I'm looking at this right now and I paused it and Misty looks so much older than this little boy. This boy looks like he's maybe like 6, maybe 7. And, yeah. And Misty is getting ready to obliterate this little boy and just crush his little dreams.
No, it's bullshit. No, don't try to defend this kid. She is trying to show him that Pokemon isn't about. I'm trying to wrap this episode. It sounds like I'm trying to wrap this episode up, but it's just, the kid is supposed to rile you up, right? I mean, obviously I don't know how he was supposed to be taken back when this was new, but obviously we're sitting here doing this rewatch. So yeah. We've got the benefit of hindsight. So we know that this kid, like you said, is about 6 or 7.
Yes.
So all he really is doing is going by what the computer told him. He doesn't know about, you know, the logistics of an actual battle. He just, well, the computer says I can beat you with this. I should be able to beat you. You exactly. know, never mind the fact that Misty is a semi-professional gym trainer and knows what she's doing.
So it's at this point, they're throwing out their Pokemon. And in their defense, they picked the exact same Pokemon that was in the simulation.
Right.
So Misty throws out her Starmie, and he throws out his Weeping Bell to get ready to battle.
Right.
And Misty has no choice. She's like, we're going to teach this little brat about Pokemon. Starmie, go!
I mean, it's one water gun.
Just boom. Just one water gun. Weeping Bell goes flying in the air, and this boy is stunned.
So I almost quit the episode 5 minutes ago. I almost quit it here because he just had this. He was dumbstruck. He goes, "Well, it's Weeping Bell should have the advantage. Your computer."
he then learned. Okay, I'm actually jumping ahead. So Giselle at this point walks into the room.
Right.
And we finally see her in person.
Right.
So how old do you think this Giselle is? Because looking at these kids, these boys that are right behind her, she has to be at least, what, 13, 14, or 15?
Yeah, I was actually thinking 13 before you said something.
So we said this off air, but it's kind of creepy that Brock being 15 was oogling over this girl, unless she is 15, but just
I don't know, and it makes me feel itchy.
It makes me feel real itchy because she has a very, very, very short skirt. She has all these teen boys all around her who I'm guessing they must have a thing for her, too. Is this girl the only girl in this damn school?
I mean, you'd think so just by the fact that everybody's drooling.
I know.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's like, oh, a girl. Yeah.
And then we have Ash giving the old googly eyes and Brock getting the little red crayon across the nose because he's all smitten now.
Right.
Looking. But yeah, Giselle goes into full mode and basically tells him, he's like, yeah, your Weeping Bell would have an advantage against the water Pokemon, but if the water Pokemon is at a higher level than your Pokemon, then your Pokemon can get beat. I mean, logic, okay?
I mean, this was a very inside baseball episode. And we talked about it earlier. They showed a Pidgeotto trading card at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
This is just
selling you on all of their products in one episode.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just saw the game on a computer. You know, we're talking about levels and yeah, this is extremely inside baseball. So, like, if this was your first episode, heaven help you.
I know. You're like, man, I need to get these cards. I need to get this game.
I need to, you know, thankfully the show's only been on for about a week and a half, so I don't have that much to catch up on.
Find all these Pokemon.
Then it's not like you can go on your DVR. Like, you have to wait till it reruns.
Yeah, this was pre-DVR, and people are like, wait a minute, you had to, yeah, unless you had a VCR tape and you recorded these episodes and your VCR for some odd reason would actually get the episode because you had to put the stuff on a timer and had to make sure that your VCR was in sync with actual time. I can't tell you how many Power Ranger episodes I missed the last 30 seconds to a freaking minute because it stopped recording. Oh. It's the worst feeling ever.
And
especially,
you know,
if the episode was a to be continued episode.
Oh yeah, of course.
So, oh man. Yeah, people, there used to be things called a tape, which was a big cassette tape. And you probably don't even know what a cassette tape is, but yeah.
So then, Giselle's basically like, well, this is how it should have been done. And she calls out Graveler, which is the evolved form of Geodude. Is he the third evolution of Geodude? Did we just completely skip over the second one, or is he the second one?
He's the second. It goes Geodude, Graveler, and then Golem.
Golem, okay. That's who I was missing.
Yeah, Graveler doesn't have the shell, but the shell ends up growing around Graveler, which turns him into Golem. But, hey, I'm going to fuck with your mind a little bit, too, Doug. In Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, Golem gets another form.
Oh, dear.
It's called the Alolan Golem, and his shell turns into a cannon, and he harbors these like big cannonballs inside of his body, and then he shoots those cannons out as an attack.
Well, that's just cheating.
It's awesome.
I mean, we all accepted that Blastoise just had two water cannons in his shell, but I mean, now we might as well just give him a gun.
Oh, but Blastoise has a new form, too. It's called Mega Blastoise.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And they take both of those cannons and they combine it into one, and it's one big cannon above his head. He is awesome.
Sure it is.
And then Beedrill has a mega form where his feet turn into little stingers, and Charizard turns into a black and blue Charizard, or a really funky-looking regular red Charizard. And then Venusaur just looks like a regular Venusaur, just with extra vines on him.
Just with extra.
Yeah. I was kind of let down with Venusaur, but he's
paid the extra and got the guac.
Exactly. But yeah, it's at this point in the episode, Giselle grabs the Pokeball and she throws it out, and it's Graveler. So Graveler seems like he is on a high ass level because water doesn't even affect it.
Yeah, I mean, judging by the way he just completely housed Starmie, I got the impression that he was like right up against the line.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly think he's getting ready to evolve into a golem.
Yeah.
Because this Graveler, he jumps in the air, jumps down. Starmie jumps away from him like, oh, fuck. And then tries to spray water gun at it. Golem starts to spin and just obliterates the water away from his body and then cracks Starmie. I feel like Starmie just gets the shaft, because how many times does Starmie's shell get obliterated just within these few episodes that we've watched?
I mean, that's twice in the two times we've seen it.
but what I do want to point out, Doug, and I know we're right up against time, but we'll get through it. But Graveler knocks Starmie so hard that he goes through the school window all the way out into the school swimming pool. And Misty is just dumbstruck, just like the kid was when she obliterated his Weeping Bell.
Well, okay, she's dumbstruck, but it's not like, well, that was against what the book says or whatever. She's just like, well, damn, I was cocky, wasn't I? Like, yeah. you know, she gets it. I mean, you know, yeah, it hurts to get knocked down a peg, but it's not like, well, that's not supposed to happen. She just was like, oh, so it's like that.
And then we go to the kids all outside the school over by the swimming pool where Misty is getting her Starmie back, and she's sitting there hugging him.
Yeah, I mean, she's just, you know, completely...
She's mad at Giselle because Giselle's the pretty girl and Ash and Brock are all smitten over her, and she's just showing jealousy this entire episode.
Well, yeah, I mean... You know, we've established that, you know, she's what, 10, and, you know, this girl comes in that we think is a few years older than her.
Hopefully she is.
She can clearly just snap her fingers and got a whole school behind her. And, you know, Misty's not the only one anymore.
I know. And Giselle just has no chill either, because Misty... is like, well, my Starmie just got done battling, and you just come in and you throw in a Pokemon that should be weak against water type. So Misty's kind of confused at this point too, and Giselle's like, yeah, Graveler is weak against water, but when you have the right trainer and you train it and it's at a high enough level, it can beat your Pokemon.
This is bullshit. Didn't we just have the same discussion about AJ last week?
Yes, we did.
This is bullshit.
And... But what pisses me off is, did she not just beat Weeping Bell the exact same way?
Right.
So.
With about as much effort.
Yeah, exactly. It was just one move. One move, knockout, and then Graveler, one move, knockout. Just so, roll out.
Who is she to be? I mean, yeah, I get being shell-shocked, but, you know, don't be up on your high horse.
Yeah. So. Man, but she then looks back. Let's see. She looks back at Joe and basically tells Joe, she's like, I hope you're taking notes and I hope you're learning from this. Everything in the computer is not always what it seems. Sometimes you have to actually train your Pokemon. And sometimes if your Pokemon is strong enough, it can beat other Pokemon that it's supposed to be weak against.
Yeah, this is mega headache territory.
Yeah, and I'm already like giving myself a headache just going over this episode,
because I know what comes next.
Yeah, Ash gets all pissed off and goes, "There's more to Pokemon than just levels."
It's like, didn't you just tell Joe that if the trainer was on his shit, basically they could handle business?
Yes.
And then, you know, Giselle goes on this long fucking typical pretty girl rant about, you know, if your Pikachu was at a high enough level, it should learn this. And then, you know, she kind of pauses. You didn't know? And she does that, like, what, 3 times? And, you know, Ash is a 10-year-old male.
Yeah, she basically bombards Ash, just like it seems like this is a revolving door at this point, that she's so shocked that Ash has been walking around, which we now get that him, Misty, and Brock have been walking for 2 months.
Yeah, that was a handy little piece of information that was just kind of thrown away. It's like, okay.
So they've been walking for 2 months, and Giselle's like, wait a minute. You've been walking for 2 months and you just let your Pikachu roam? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like that's just a normal thing that's going to happen. Like, oh, that Pikachu's out of the Poke, and then we got to spend 5 minutes on that every time somebody brings it up. It's like, yeah, he should just send out flyers.
Yeah, and Ash goes into his normal spiel. Well, these Pokemon are my friends. And so is Pidgeotto, and so is Butterfree.
And then I think she said something about you've been out for 2 months and you only have 3 Pokemon.
Yeah, she's like, you have 3 Pokemon. Normally trainers just starting off just within a couple of weeks have at least 6 Pokemon, which he should have more than just 3 Pokemon if he's been roaming for. How the hell are you roaming around for 2 months and you only have 3 Pokemon? I'm just now putting that in my head right now. I'm like, my head hurts.
Well, there's a line, and I think it's not for a bit. It's not until Ash catches Krabby, and Ash learns about, you know, Pokemon boxes, essentially.
Yeah.
And I think they meet up with Oak, and
Well, no, they, and this is in a further. So after Ash gets Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and Charmander, he finds a Krabby on the beach. He catches Krabby, and as soon as he has Krabby in his hands, it just, the Pokeball vanishes.
Right.
And then he goes, and Brock has to then tell him, well, you can only have 6 Pokemon.
And then I think there's something later where they meet up with Oak, and then I think it basically becomes a dick measuring contest between Ash and Gary.
Yeah.
And it come to find out that Ash actually has more Pokemon, but Oak goes, well, they're basically all Tauros from the Safari Zone, which.
Yeah. Or how about when he caught the Krabby, and then Professor Oak pulls the computer screen over, and Gary has a bigger Krabby that's like 3 times the size of his.
But to make a long story short and get us back on track, Ash says something to the effect of, I go for quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
But still, he's been out hitting the pavement for 2 months and he's got, you know, a Butterfree, a Pidgeotto, and a Pikachu. And again, I'll bring it up every time it's relevant. Motherfucker just caught a wild Pidgeotto.
Yeah, he did.
Motherfucker, you know.
So they end up having a little bit of back and forth banter, and we don't have to go through every last line that they talk about, but Ash starts to get big dick again and goes, you know what, I'm gonna show you. So I want to challenge you to a battle. And this is where we get Cubone thrown right into the picture.
Right.
So it's going to be Cubone versus Pikachu.
Cubone and, is adorable.
Yeah, he is. So Cubone at this point is battling Pikachu. Pikachu goes in for a Thundershock, and this Cubone must be a high level because he just twirls his little bone around in a little circle and just obliterates the Thundershock away from him.
Yeah, I mean, just like, it didn't even break a sweat.
No, just and to show he didn't break a sweat, after Pikachu's done with the Thundershock, he takes the bone and goes, give him, and just points it at Pikachu and Ash. Pikachu are just dumbfounded. They're like, what? And Giselle's like, yeah, you didn't know that Cubone is a ground type Pokemon? and he's not weak against electric attacks.
And then friggin' we devolve into schoolyard tactics. Pikachu's literally pulling a mean face. And Cubone fucking clubs him.
Yeah.
He just said, bah! It just.
Pikachu doesn't know how to do scary face yet. And just, bah! It just takes his bone and just smack.
And then Ash gets on his high horse. Well, no, that's not yet. So he hits him to back him up. And then Giselle calls out for Bone Meringue.
And knocks Pikachu out.
And Ash gets on his high horse. Basically, if this was a football game, Ash would have thrown a flag for illegal maneuver, which is bullshit because that's a legitimate move.
Yeah, he's like that's not fair. That's that throwing that thing is a cheap move. No, it's an attack by Cubone.
And
Giselle actually says, and I love that she says it. She's like, it's an actual move, and it's actually authorized in the official Pokemon book.
Which you would think the way Ash studies, film and relies on his Pokédex, you would think he might have this guide.
Yeah, exactly.
But, he throws the boner, and then he goes to, I let it play, thinking I was.
But, okay, so he throws the boomerang, and then Pikachu gets up, and Cubone again throws a second boomerang at Pikachu, and Ash is about to lose his head. He's like, Pikachu! And Pikachu is still not knocked out, but then gets right back up.
And then
Giselle goes for a third boomerang, and Pikachu's like, I'm not getting hit by a damn bone a third time. Jumps up, jumps over the boomerang, runs over to Cubone, takes Cubone's mask, and turns it backwards on Cubone.
he bites Cubone's tail, scratches the belly, basically delivers a Kinshasa knee.
And then here comes the boomerang back at Cubone and just knocks out Cubone to make Cubone cry to finish off the battle.
Now, and see, here's where I get a little, I don't know what the proper word is. I think Ash was a dickhead here.
Why?
Because those weren't moves.
No, they weren't.
Pikachu was just in a streak.
Well, no. No, technically, Pikachu used Scratch, Pikachu used Bite, and Pikachu used High Kick.
I fuck you, High Kick.
Hey, that's a move learned by Hitmonlee.
Fuck you, High Kick. What Pokemon? What Pikachu?
Fuck you. I mean, you know, high Kick is a move, and it's officiated in the Pokemon book.
Yeah, I want to see a Pikachu with High Kick equipped.
Fuck you. I'm going to go to my game and teach my damn Pokemon Pikachu High Kick, and then I'm going to get you a damn Pokemon game and play
your,
you.
Your games aren't reliable. Your games are cracked.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're bullshit.
Not all. No, I have legit Pokemon games, but I do have a hacked Switch. I have one hack Switch that I get unreliable Pokemon from, but then I have a legitimate account.
Because you have to, otherwise you wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yes. Because Pokemons are, the Pokemon people are sons of bitches when it comes to their Pokemon and having illegitimate Pokemon.
So.
But back on track with this, Giselle calls Cubone back into her Pokeball and then calls this battle a once-in-a-lifetime type of battle and tells all of her students not to get used to battles like this, which I think is kind of cheap.
Well, no, because that was a street fight.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you don't want to try battling like that, because if you get in a structured environment, you know, like a officially licensed gym or the Pokemon League, you're not going to be able to just
do that stuff.
Bare knuckle fight.
But what kind of made me mad was she actually said the line, and this episode is so back and forth. Like, I think if they were to go back and redo this episode would be so much different. But she says, I didn't know Pikachu can do any other attacks other than electric attacks.
Like, yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Like, wait a minute, hold on. Aren't you supposed to be the one showing all of them and being on higher levels and just...
Yeah, didn't you just use a Graveler to destroy a Starmie? Like, what, you know, what are we doing here? You know, like I say, headache episode, big time.
Yeah, very, very big.
So, and I didn't clock this when I was watching it, but, you know, it's kind of running, you know, and I'm picking up things.
What's that?
Team Rocket just showed up, and there's 3 minutes, 45 seconds left in the episode.
Yes.
What the fuck?
So, yeah, Team Rocket ends up putting smoke into the school. So, and the students think that it's like a fog machine that kind of went wrong inside of their school. But then Team Rocket comes out, they do their little spiel, and they try to steal the Pokemon. Again,
yeah, and
Giselle then says, "Oh, you guys are the ones that got the worst grades ever."
Yeah, apparently they're legends for the wrong reasons. And to make a long story short, they get dealt with. They literally get Pokeballs chucked at them.
Yeah. So and that's the funny part. So they actually don't use Koffing or Atkins. I mean, obviously we have like a minute left in the damn episode. Yeah. So all the kids, including Ash, Misty, and Brock, get all these empty Pokeballs and go, "Oh, you want to try to steal our Pokemon? Then let's have a 10-on-3 match." And Team Rocket goes, "That's not fair." And
which it's not.
And then she goes, "Oh, I didn't know Team Rocket played by fair rules." And then they just start chucking those balls like baseballs at Team Rocket. And you get these funny still images of the Pokeballs just smacking them in the face.
Yeah.
And then Team Rocket didn't blast off in this episode, but Team Rocket runs away from getting smacked in the face by Pokeballs.
Yeah, I mean, they booked it. So they went through all that spiel with the smoke and the entrance and the slogan. What the fuck?
Yeah, but they said they blasted off again, but they were not blasting off. Though they ran through the gate to get away from those Pokeballs.
Well, the Pokeballs were blasting them in the face. What do you want?
And then we go to a nighttime scene where Giselle's talking to herself saying, "Well, there's just some things you can't learn just from Pokemon school. You have to learn from experience."
God damn, this episode ended like 15 times.
Yes.
There was about 15 lines you could have gone out on, and the episode could have been like 10 minutes.
I know. And and the little boy finally gets up enough courage to start talking to Giselle. Like, he actually walks up to her talking about how he wants to become a great Pokemon trainer and he's going to do the best thing that he can to become that great Pokemon trainer. And then
he's going home.
Yep.
He's going home. He said, "Screw this. He basically said, "Fuck this. I'm done with being hazed. This is bullshit."
So he's going to go and learn how to be a great Pokemon trainer. And then the screen starts panning away and we see Ash, Misty, and Brock.
Yep. And I'm a little behind on that. You're actually a little ahead of me.
Sorry. So at this point, what is it that Ash says?
I don't have the sound up.
Ash, it pans away and Ash and Misty are standing next to each other and Ash gives out the funny line. He's like, "Why can't me and you be like that, Misty?" And Misty, let me see.
She has no, I mean, it goes back to the bike, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes back to the bike. I just heard it right now. So Misty's like, "Oh, I can tell you exactly why we can't be like that, because he doesn't hold her a bike."
That's what we went out on.
Yep. So, and that was the end of the episode. And then everyone is in a big little circle, the little boy, Giselle, Ash, Misty, and Brock. And Giselle goes, well, hopefully we'll be able to battle each other again one day. And she says that to Misty, and Misty goes, well, yeah, I would love that.
And yeah, because we have to be friends at the end of the episode.
So I do want to note that so far in the episodes that I've been watching, Giselle never makes a second appearance in the Pokemon franchise. And just only about a couple episodes ago, and people who's listening to this have probably seen every single episode, Misty finally gets her bike back.
Ah,
like 5 years later into the anime.
Holy shit.
But Ash isn't the one that gave it back to her. It was Nurse Joy. Nurse Joy saw the fried up bike and took about a week to get this bike back up and running. So if Misty would have stayed there for about another week, that bike, she would have had her bike back. Actually, well, she should have had her bike back already by this episode.
She couldn't afford to. Ash was a man on a mission.
I know. So, but yeah, that's the end of this week's episode. We're all friends at the end. We all learned a life lesson. Pokemon marketed themselves as much as they could during this episode. So now Pokemon's like, okay, we got that episode out of the way. So let's go ahead and continue our franchise.
Yeah, so this episode aired in September. So when did the game start hitting?
I can actually tell you. I think the game came out before. Let me see. When did Pokemon? Because Pokemon Red and Blue.
Right, because Yellow came out a little later.
Pokemon Red and Blue. It came out February 27th, 1996.
So, okay, so it had been out. So it's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like...
This was just their way of like telling people, hey, we have a popular TV show now, but we do have a game.
Right. And you saw in the first 5 minutes of this episode, we also have cards.
Yes. So, yeah, that was basically the end of this episode. So until next week's episode, we finally get Bulbasaur because it's titled Bulbasaur and the Hidden Village. Or as it's translated in Japanese, I am not going to say this right.
Uh-oh.
Fushi Gidain of the Hidden Village.
All right.
Yeah. You know what? Hold on. And I know we're up against time, but I'm going to put this in Google real quick just so it can say the damn name for me.
Well, we can't get struck for Google.
No. Let's see. Pronunciation. There we go. How do you say this word? Google.
Google's not on the clock.
No, it is not. Okay, well, I will have the title right in Japanese by next week's episode.
So, all right. So it looks like we're about to go on our run of Ash just happening upon the three starter Pokemon
in three episodes back-to-back,
which is bullshit. I'm sure I'll bring up each week.
Yes. So all right, next week again is Bulbasaur of the Hidden Village. Doug, go ahead and say goodbye Doug. And until next week, all Pokegoers, go ahead and get that hashtag out, epeep, and we will see you again next week. Have a good night, everyone.